Okay, our next talk will be about a soil moisture sensor approach to scheduling cotton irrigation.
All right. Thank you for that introduction. My name is Michael Plumley. I'm a PhD graduate student currently at Mississippi State under the direction of Dr. Darren Dodds and Dr. Jason Kreutz. And today I'll be sharing with you a little bit of the research that I've conducted throughout my PhD. So just starting with the introduction, kind of to put cotton in perspective as far as how it relates to us in Mississippi. Prior to 2007, Mississippi was planting approximately 405,000 hectares of cotton. But since then, from 2007 till present times, we've seen a decline in planted acreage or area down to 214,000 hectares on average. Some of the reasons for this decline in planted area would be things like price. You know, the prices have been fluctuating a lot lately over the past few years. More specifically, I guess, to the Mid-South region, we have had quite a few issues with insects and weed pressure. High commodity prices of alternative crops such as corn and soybeans. We're seeing more growers go towards a crop rotation-based system and getting away from continuous cotton production, and as well as diversification, you know, minimizing some of the risk associated with being a monocrop system. So a lot of times when you start talking about irrigating in cotton, you know, people ask, well, why should we even irrigate cotton? Because it's often thought as being a really drought-tolerant crop. It's got a deep tap root where it can utilize soil moisture deep through the profile. It's native to tropical and subtropical regions, and it has an indeterminate growth habit. But in reality, as you can see from the cotton water use curve, cotton can use quite a bit of water throughout the growing season. With that being said, cotton can its maximum water usage can be up to 0.7 centimeters of water use per day. Another point I would like to make, just looking at the cotton water use curve here on the right, is that really our water demand in cotton doesn't start to increase until we hit reproductive growth. So from that first square to first bloom growth stage is really where we start to see our water use ramp up, and it's maximizing during peak bloom. So furthermore, to kind of put cotton in perspective and where we're standing with our irrigated acres in Mississippi, this is a graph of cotton planted area from 1972 till 2017 in Mississippi, and it's and our irrigated and non-irrigated acres. And so there's a couple points I'd like to make on this is that, you know, you can see how our acres have declined over the last decade, but at the same time, our number of irrigated acres have increased steadily since 1972, where we were virtually dry land almost 100% back then. Now we're getting closer to 50% of our acres being irrigated. So that being said, you know, how we use our water resources and the need to know a proper irrigation schedule for cotton is definitely there. About 70% of the irrigation in the Mississippi Delta is furrow irrigated or applied through a furrow irrigation system. This is the least efficient irrigation method that's currently used with an efficiency of about 50 to 60%. But over the last few years, we have developed a few ways to increase the efficiency of the system through the use of surge valves where we can send multiple flushes of water down through the furrows to decrease the depth that we're infiltrating the water to get a more uniform wetting front, computerized hole selection in order to allow ununiform fields to water out at the same time, and then through proper scheduling methods. So a majority of the water that we are utilizing in agriculture, especially for irrigation use in Mississippi, is being derived from the Mississippi River Valley alluvial aquifer, which can be seen in the picture on the right. It spans from West Tennessee, Northeast Arkansas, down through the Delta of Louisiana. A majority of the groundwater wells, again, in the Delta region are utilizing water from this source. And what they've realized over the last few years is that our rainfall recharge is recharging, but not at the same rate that we're pulling water from this source. So that leads us to where, again, where's the importance of managing our irrigation, especially in cotton? Regulation on water use, I'm sure many of you have heard about. you know, over the last several years, you know, the water crisis and everything going on in California and more arid regions of the United States, and that's coming more towards the east. What we've seen specifically in Mississippi is a majority of our groundwater wells that have been installed since the mid to late 80s have a permitted value associated with it, which basically says that a grower is allowed to utilize 18 acre inches of water from that well per year. Up until now, there hasn't been any regulation on this, but the past few years we have seen a voluntary program where they're asking 10% of all the wells to be voluntarily monitored and reported just so they can get a grasp on water use out of this aquifer. Addition to that, you know, we want to always look out for the producer economics. We want to maximize yield, but at the same time, we want to maximize profit. So if that means not watering, you know, to put money back in farmers' wallets, probably just as important as maximizing our yield. And then again, to use our resources wisely. So some of the previous research that's been conducted on irrigation scheduling in cotton, you know, from Bednarz et al. 2003, they've seen that regardless of the volume, you know, yields were increased when irrigation was used. From Bednarz et al. 2003 as well, they, you know, determined that from first flower plus 6 weeks is a period sensitive time for water stress. So basically throughout, you know, your reproductive growth, bloom through all that is going to be very sensitive to water stress. And then several other research trials have been conducted looking at different scheduling methods other than soil moisture data, whether it be ET, plant-based modeling, or things of that nature. So that leads us into the objective of this research, which was first to determine the optimum irrigation schedule trigger for using soil moisture sensors in cotton, and secondly, to determine if manipulating an irrigation trigger throughout the season affected our yield. So to do this, we installed a trial starting in 2015 and repeated it in 16 and 17 in Starkville, Mississippi. It was conducted on a Leaper silty clay loam. This trial was furrow irrigated, and we planted the variety Stoneville 4946, which at the time of the initiation of this trial was planted on 29% of the area in Mississippi and was our number one variety. For this specific research trial, we selected to use the soil metric potential water or moisture sensors, which would be in the form of something like a watermark soil moisture sensor. Some of the reason we went this route was that we could establish a definite trigger value rather than a specific recommendation depending on soil type. The experiment was set up with four row plots. We had 0.96 meter row spacing. The plot length was 12.2 meters long, four replications, randomized complete block design, and just kind of how we, to describe even more kind of how we achieved this was by looking at the picture on the right. So we, with a four-row plot, we would technically have five furrows, and we watered the center three, harvesting the center two rows. Again, a few more pictures on kind of how we utilized our water control. We used 15-inch polytubing with line tees so we could control the water to each of the reps. And then we would cut a tail ditch so we would capture any runoff water, ensuring that we didn't water a plot that didn't trigger. Again, we used watermark soil moisture sensors. We placed them at depths of 15, 30, 60, and 90 centimeters in depth. We installed sensors at those depths by treatment, and then we read our sensors three times a week, which was typically Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, to determine whether or not our trigger values had been met. So as far as setting up our treatments, you know, we did take into account the manufacturer's specifications from Aerometer on what a trigger ought to be. And to put it in perspective, this is basically how the triggers work. So the lower the number, the more saturated the soil. Around 30 or 33 kilopascals, that's really where we start to see field capacity. And then anything over 100, you know, your soil is starting to become dry. But if you see from the picture on the right, with our soil types predominantly being a lot of clay in Mississippi, we determined that if we allowed our soil moisture available water depletion to get to 50%, we were going to be somewhere between 80 and 90 kilopascals on adequate trigger value. So that leads us into our treatments. We set up the experiment where we had two management regimes. The first being we managed for full season with a trigger, and then the second was we broke the growing season up into three different growth stages. So for the full season, we had a non-irrigated treatment. We had a 50 kilopascal trigger, which would have been very aggressive, a 90 kilopascal trigger, which is kind of where we thought it ought to be, and then a 130 drying it out some more. With the three growth stages, our first was emergence to first bloom, our second was first bloom to peak bloom, and our third was peak bloom to first cracked bowl. And within these growth stages, our trigger values were we had a non-irrigated, a 90 kilopascal trigger, and a 130. I'd also like to make note that when we were outside of each growth stage, we initiated irrigation at 75 kilopascal trigger, which again would have been a little more aggressive, just to try and hone in on if us manipulating within the growth stage is actually contributing to any differences that we did see. The data that we collected was height, node above crack bowl, water use, lint yield, and fiber quality. Analyzed the data for this presentation using ANOVA, ProcGlimix. The means were separated using multiple pairwise t-tests at alpha 0.1, and all of this was done in SAS version 9.4. So moving into the results, first I just kind of want to show y'all some of what we've been dealing with, I guess, the past few years in Mississippi. So here I've got rainfall plotted for each year, 2015, 16, and 17, from April 5th to October 2nd. And I guess the first thing that I can, you know, point out on this is that in 2017, we might not have had as many rainfall events, but the ones we had produced more rainfall. With that being said, we had a pretty wet year, at least in Starkville, this past year, and we only actually triggered our sensors one time. 2015 and 2016, at least for irrigation research, probably gave us a little bit better of a feel on what actually is going on. So again, in this circle that you can see on 2017, this is really the only dry period we had throughout this past growing season, and that's where we actually triggered. So moving to that, again, 2017, we didn't see any differences based on how we triggered just because of the amount of rainfall. But moving into 15 and 16, when we averaged across locations for full season management with lint yield on the y-axis and our triggers across the x, what we saw is a trigger value of 90 kilopascals ultimately resulted in significantly higher yield than the 50 or the non-irrigated, which leads us, you know, that the 50 is probably too much water. Again, looking at breaking it up by different growth stages, we didn't really see any significant differences with 2015 or 16 pooled across locations in terms of significant yield differences on how we managed it. But a few good take-home points from this is that our current recommendation in Mississippi for irrigation initiation is that go into bloom with adequate soil moisture. So with that being said, if you look at the emergence to first bloom region, you can see that our non-irrigated was significantly the same as whether or not we irrigated. So that kind of holds our recommendation to being true. To conclude, again, research agrees that triggers of 90 to 100 kilopascals are sufficient for cotton grown in Mississippi. Manipulating triggers throughout the growing season show no significant effect in cotton, and our current recommendation for initiation of irrigation holds true. Some of the future research I think we could do would be to correlate soil tension sensor data and volumetric sensors across Mississippi soil types, continue to fine-tune our irrigation schedule in cotton, and then a further assessment of new cotton varieties and the response to irrigation. I'd like to thank my major professors, Dr. Darren Dodds and Jason Kreutz, graduate students, student workers, and our crew at the North Farm. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes, sir. Okay. So the question was our trigger value an average, or how do we develop a trigger value? So the way that we've done it, and I think it's also recommended by the manufacturer, is you basically say, if you've got four sensors in the ground and they're all reading something other than zero, you can probably assume that the plants are utilizing soil moisture. So if we have sensors at, let's say, 6, 12, and 24 inches, you would take the percentage of the soil profile that each sensor is responsible for and come up with the average that way. So you would 6 to 12 would be 25% and go on like that. So.
All right, let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.